Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from Spokane, even Spokane, and from Singapore on one side of the world and Stockholm to the other. And we have, at least for me, a very special time with some special friends. And that is why we didn't play the music today, because first of all, I have to make sure that being a simple sailor who can barely read or write, that I've got the mic set up properly. So, Dr. Hallman, check in on your mic and see whether you're working.
All right. Hopefully this is working.
Loud and clear. I'm getting the things going up. And Cyrus?
Testing.
Done. All is working well. All is well. Semper paratus, and here we go. So my friends today, and as you all who are loyal Captain Joe's people and listeners know, that I don't have guests on this program. I have friends. And the friends that are with me today are, first of all, Cyrus Anderson, who is a Navy veteran, and he has been on with us before and has told some of the stories. But he's here today in his capacity as the chairman of the Finance Committee for the Heritage Museum here on the island. And my other friend is Dr. Bruce Hallman, who is the chair that when it came time to elect a chair, no one stepped forward. And so, Bruce, I guess it was to you, was your turn in the barrel.
I actually missed the meetings. So. So show up for meetings.
In my early days, the first ship that I went to out of the academy, I was a member of the wardroom mess, and the task of being the mess treasurer was passed around amongst the junior officers, and if you happened not to be there on the day in which they had the election, then you were certain to get the job. So I know how that works. In any case, congratulations, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Heritage Museum, and we're going to talk about a big event that they have coming up this coming Saturday. And also we're going to talk about some filming that Bruce and I did and a number of other people. So we're going to get into it by starting off with you, Cyrus, and a good afternoon to you, my friend.
And you, Captain Joe.
So we started this discussion about the event that you are planning for this afternoon by a message and then a telephone call from you. And I thought at the time that the date coincides with one of the birthday announcements, one of my regular features or birthday announcements for people. And this Saturday would have been Mary R's 75th birthday. And I thought, what a wonderful way to tie together an institution here on the island with which I have a great deal of affection and affinity. Mary was a great supporter of me and my support of that particular institution. And so we're going to have that at her birthday party on Saturday. So tell us a little bit about what is in that program. And you may also, because you're the chair of the Finance Committee, you may also allude to the fact that those who may choose to do so may also make some contribution to the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Joe. Yes, this event coming up is about two things. It's about what we do, and most people who see this kind of small, yellow, church-looking building have very little idea of what a complex and sophisticated organization it really is, and the breadth and the depth of the kinds of topics and subjects we're working with and the kinds of relationships we have with people. It's been a very, very trying time for nonprofits, this whole COVID experience. And our organization has depended primarily on meetings with public attendance. And all of those, of course, were precluded by COVID. And so we had to jump through hoops backwards and try and figure out how to do that and how to budget for it. And we're able to engage the services of Enjoy, who are emceeing and hosting our program, to enable us to try and make up some of the ground that we weren't able to cover during COVID time, and continue to move forward with a dynamic long-range plan and vision that the organization has for the next several years. We were told several years ago that museums, if they don't have some kind of a driving vision, can very easily just kind of fade into the background and just become dusty little corners someplace, rather than a dynamic force in their community. And this organization is a marvelous and respected dynamic force. The program itself is a fundraiser, but it's kind of like a variety show, somewhat, because of the way that Enjoy presents it. We will be covering not only what we do, and we do a lot of things. The organization has far more moving parts than people can even begin to imagine. One of the joys of being involved in finances is you get to see every corner of that and become aware of just how complex and sophisticated an organization the museum really is. But it's not just what we do. The most important thing is why we do it. And this program is going to be trying to work with some of the people that have created some of our most successful events, special exhibits, and what motivated them to do it, and what it takes to actually carry through and create a program of the level of quality that the museum is now known for. So we'll be talking about not only what we do, but especially why we do it. And the program will have all sorts of stuff going on. I think Kevin's going to sing one of his songs, which if you're followed Enjoy, know he does a really interesting job with that and a fun job with that. There will be a trivia session for history buffs. There will be talk about some mysteries in the history of the island. Really, the task has been paring information down into some kind of workable program that'll take place in, 45 minutes to an hour, because we probably have 50 hours worth of stories and wonderful, wonderful tales to tell, and the stories of people's lives and their influence. And all of this is done with in the background with our mission. Our mission is to engage people, somehow grab their attention, and educate them about who we are and why we are, which is what history is. History is who we are and why we are the way we are, and especially to inspire people and to give them a concept that we're not just people here today looking at the history in the past. We're people here today making the history that people in the future will look back upon and say, "Man, do you remember what happened in 2021 and the COVID craziness?" Well, we're working on that story and pulling that story together. And to help people understand that who you are and what you do has a direct impact on your community and on the culture around us, and thus you have a direct impact on our history as it's unfolding. And so this program is designed to show you what we've done and how we have understood the purpose for doing that, to engage people and educate people and inspire them to be better citizens, to be people who understand their environment better and why things are the way they are and how they could be different if they weren't the way they are now.
So how long is the program itself? Because I'm going to be showing this to my family and friends who are at the family level as part of Mary R's birthday celebration. Mm-hmm. So how long is this program?
I think it's, about 45 minutes, Bruce?
Yeah, it'll be about 40, 45 minutes. And,
administrative time.
But most of the segments will be short, 2-3 minute kind of things, mm-hmm. and just giving people a little sense of, like Cyrus said, of what we do at the museum. We're not just a collection of antiques and curios stuck in a little dusty corner. I think the Heritage Museum on Vashon is a very vibrant, living sort of organization that has a mission to tell Vashon stories and all Vashon stories. I mean, so many museums and so many communities get stuck on sort of the original founders of the community, and that's the story they tell over and over again. And that's a story and an important story, but it's not the only story.
So there are two exhibits in which I have had either some direct participation or some direct interest. And the first one was the 100th birthday of Point Robinson Light. And the exhibit was curated by Jessica Dwyer. And her mother, Eleanor, is one of the leading American authorities on lighthouses. She's written many books and has illustrated them herself with her own photographs. And so it was particularly appropriate that Jessica would be the one to curate that exhibit. And I came and I gave several lectures during the life of that exhibit. And pieces of it now we transferred over to Point Robinson, and they are now being used at Point Robinson. So that was the first one. I thought that that one was so beautifully done, and it was done with an emphasis on the connection among island people and an island institution, which seems to me to be one of the themes. It may not be in your mission statement, but it seems to me to be one of the themes that is part of all of this. The second one was the exhibit about Sergeant Gaynor put together, which were photographs of his time in Vietnam. And Chris was in an army unit in the bush, which was much more difficult, much more gritty than my war in Vietnam. And so Chris and I had talked about this a lot. And Chris now is going through some very difficult physical times in his own life. But I saw him not too long ago. And one of the things that happened after the time when I saw him, he came up to me and he said, "Captain Joe, I would have been proud to serve under your command." And I said, "Chris, I would have been proud to have you as a member of my command." And so I don't know when or if I will see Chris again, but I certainly wish him the best possible time for the time that he has left. So there are two exhibits which have struck me personally and right to the very core of myself. And one of the things that you and I've talked about, Bruce, is the emphasis or the intent to bring in particular the children into the activities at the museum. And because you're the chair and because you are not only a historian but a teacher by profession, I'd like you to comment a little bit about that, because this is an area that is really important to me. And then after your remarks, I'm going to ask Cyrus the same question. What do you think, and how do you feel all of these things should be done in such a way as to bring the children in?
Sure. Yeah, it's. I mean, the function of a museum is you've got a diverse audience out there. You've got people who grew up on Vashon. You've got people who have moved to Vashon last year. You've got off-islanders, you've got school kids who are growing up on the island, and we try and build these exhibits to reach and to touch all of those various groups and audiences, if you will. But one of the most important is the schools. Every exhibit we have, we work closely with the schools to have schools classes come and visit. We have programs in the schools and at the museum. And it's that sense, and you talked about this when you and I talked earlier, Captain Joe, about the whole sort of purpose of a museum, the whole purpose of history is not for us. It's really for the next generation and what they tell the generation after them, that those stories don't get lost, that those stories have meaning, and that there are lessons in those stories. And it's important that when we put together an exhibit, that we keep in mind that we're addressing a variety of different audiences. But the whole purpose, really, to me, and the central purpose, is that sense of making sure that these stories are not lost, that they're heard, that they're recognized, that they're honored, and that they're carried forward into the future, because they become the lessons of the past that we build the future on.
Okay. Cyrus?
I think that I became involved with the museum primarily through starting as a docent. And I think that probably one of my very favorite experiences as a docent that really left an impression on me was a mother who brought her son in. He was about 12 years old. She was homeschooling him, and she was doing the history component, Washington State history component, and that sort of thing. Well, this kid was one of these special personalities who is engaged and curious about everything, and is articulate enough to be able to talk about that. And it was one of the most marvelous half hours I think I've had as a docent, walking him around and fielding questions. And he made all sorts of pertinent remarks about stuff and asked me leading questions that then went off into other areas. And when he left, his mom just had this big smile on her face, because this kid had engaged me, I think, as much as me engaging him. And just very pleased with the whole experience that her son had. And it was one of these three or four moments in my docenting time where I stood back and said, that was really neat. This is why I want to be involved in an organization like this.
Good.
Because you have that kind of quality.
Good. So I've not been able to do any of my school groups for now over a year. And I have my first school group tomorrow. And it's 65 sixth graders that are coming to Point Robinson. And I get to talk to these young people. I, in particular, like to talk to kids at the sixth and seventh grade level, because it's my perception, based on some experience as both a commander of young people and also grandchildren of ages, a very wide range, age range, that this is about the last time that we can have an influence that might stick with them as they work their way through the minefields of high school and then university and all of the things that go after that. And so what we do here at the museum seems to me to complement all of that, that it gives them a play. And I particularly like the idea that it is in an old church, that a church that was, that the congregation has moved elsewhere or has built another building, or maybe it disbanded. I don't know the story of the congregation that had that church. But it is being used in a way which has some of the same objectives of any religious organization that is thinking about what happens after you and you and I have crossed our own bar. So then the other thing that I really like about the museum is that there are, as you walk in the front, there are some standing exhibits. In other words, ones that do not change very often. And then you go into the back, and that was where the Vietnam exhibit was. That's where the Lighthouse exhibit was. So in order to get to that, you have to walk through some pieces of our past here on the magical Isle of Vashon. And I thought that that was just a really clever way. When you go into, when you go to Westminster Abbey, in order to get into the Abbey, you have to pass through the gift shop. Well, this is our gift shop. And I suppose, well, in fact, I know that you may make a donation as you go in, but our gift shop is all of the exhibits about who we are, and then you get to the back where the exhibits are, the rotating or the ones that change. I think that whether that was planned that way or not, I find it to be a particularly ingenious way to do a museum. I objected mightily, although nothing I could do about it, about having to go through the gift shop in order to get into Westminster Abbey. So I'm going to take a short break here from the Heritage Museum. We're going to come back to it in just a minute, but I have a couple of pieces of my regular features that I always get to. And as is always my custom, if you have anything that you'd like to comment on about the regular features, you're invited to do that, even if you think you don't know anything about it, because I frequently pontificate about things that I don't think I know anything about. And if you just pull the mic over to you a little bit more, Cyrus, there. So the first thing is that I always talk about the binnacle list and the people that are on the binnacle list, and from the captain's chair, assure all of them, for whatever reason they're on the binnacle list, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, financial, whatever reason, that you have the attention of your captain from the captain's chair, and my wish and my hope and my command that you do everything that you can to return back to duty. For ships that are on the binnacle list, I picked up one, the NYK Delphinus, and we still have engine room fires in ships these days, and she had one, and she was towed back into the port of, I think she was pulled into Long Beach, but hopefully she will return to service. NYK is one of the old line Japanese lines, and you can always tell an NYK ship, here's your little bit of nautical arcana for today. You can always tell a NYK ship because on the stack, the stack markings are red, white, and black bands, and no other shipping line in the world shares that particular set of stack markings. So we hope that she returns to duty, as well as all the people that are on Captain Joe's binnacle list. I also, every week, talk about birthdays, and this Saturday, when we have your program from the Heritage Museum, will be part of the birthday party that we're going to have for Mary R. She would have been 75 on Saturday the 22nd, and then just a couple days after that, my friend Holly has her birthday. And I'm going to slip in here another little piece of nautical arcana, because her name begins with the letter H, and the phonetic alphabet equivalent, Cyrus, reaching back into your sea bag, what's the phonetic equivalent for the letter H? I'm not going to try to.
Yeah, boy, I'm thinking of Greek, but that's not what it is.
No.
H.
Well, I'll take.
Yeah, you're going to have to pick this up for me, John.
Okay, I'll pick you up off the quarterdeck, yeah, and tell you that the phonetic equivalent for the letter H is the word hotel.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And the hotel flag in the International Code of Signals is a red and white flag, and it says to the world, "I have a pilot aboard." So there's your nautical arcana, mm-hmm, for today. Everybody who watches merchant shipping all over the world, look for that red and white flag at the masthead that tells you that she has a pilot aboard. Now, how about those ships that come in and out of ports that do not fly the pilot flag, like the ones that go between here and Alaska? I suspect, do not know for sure, but I suspect that those captains have all qualified as pilots for the two sets of waterways that they traverse, and therefore they are their own pilots and are not flying the pilot flag. So There are two pieces of Nautical Arcana for you. And because we are so short on time, we're going to get back to the museum. And starting with the chairman of the board, reluctant though he may be. Actually, I don't think you're so reluctant at it, Bruce. I've known you for a long time, and I think you probably are welcoming picking up the sea bag and carrying it around. But I'd like to have from the chairman of the board what you would like to see as your vision for the time in which you are sitting in the captain's chair, for indeed, you are the captain of that ship for the time of your incumbency.
Sure. Yeah, it's been an interesting time, as Cyrus said. When I became president of the board of the Heritage Museum, COVID was not even on the horizon. So we had started a 10-year planning process with the idea that we were going to look and see what the museum wanted to become in the next 10 years. And the museum is at a turning point, if you will, like many organizations. We've developed a strong set of exhibits. We've got a great set of volunteers. We've got a good staff on board. We've got support in the community. And it's sort of, you know, where do you go from there? And then COVID came along. And talk about pivoting. You know, it's ships don't turn very quickly. And neither do organizations, but we made about as fast a turn as an organization could make. You know, we took virtually everything we did in terms of programs, activities were canceled because they were all in person. They were at the museum. They were, you know, at historic sites. And we pivoted and turned them all into virtual events. We started a speaker series. Cyrus did a talk on the Maury Island incident, for instance. We had Nancy Bristow do a talk, who's a professor at UPS that lives on the island, talk on the 1918 pandemic and how it reflects where we are today. So, you know, we've just done a lot of things to try and take the museum out of the museum. If people can't come to us, then it's important that we go to the people. And one of the most interesting parts of that to me was we had planned this sort of walking tour of downtown Vashon, and we expanded it into a full-blown exhibit of the history of Vashon Town, that people could be outdoors and walk and be socially distanced and be safe during the time of COVID, something that they can't do in the museum. And so it's been an interesting time. Planning process is still going on for a 10-year plan, but it's a plan that's looking at what the new normal is going to be, because we really don't know what's going to come out of this.
All right. So, Cyrus, to you, because you and I have talked about in particular the program on the 22nd, how can people who are listening to us be a part of that, and how can they sign up for it? Because I know there is a registration, which because there's a merciful God in his heaven, you did for me, but you're not able to do it for the 100,000 people that will want to sign on. So how can they do that?
Well, there's a number of ways. Some people have been contacted as guests, personal guests, and others are responding then to postcards that have gone out, shows like this. You can go to the website, and you will find there, if you just do a little bit of looking around, several entries, really, to be able to register yourself. Okay. The registration is necessary because that's what keys the Zoom link being sent to you so that you can view the program on your own computer.
Okay.
So it's very important that you get registered. And you can do that yourself, or you can call the museum, or you can call someone like myself or Bruce or someone that you know in the organization. And right there on the postcard, there are directions also to be able to do that. So we're hoping to draw together literally several hundred people by the time our registrations are in, and we're well on our way. We're very pleased with the response we're getting. But the more people who participate, the more partners we have, because we view people that contribute to the museum is, as in many ways, our partners in our mission, who help support that. The museum, unlike a lot of other organizations, doesn't have any income that it generates itself other than just de minimis money for memberships and that sort of thing. We are not publicly supported. We are supported in through the grant process.
And mm-hmm.
We
yes.
draw in a lot of money through grants. But one of the interesting pieces, we talked about being officers on a ship. I was the dispersing officer on a ship with about 500 personnel when I was in the Navy. So I've been kind of involved in the money end of things all along. And the planning, the cash flow planning, is in fact very, very interesting and very detailed at times, partially because one of the things people don't understand about most grants is that they are what's called a reimbursement grant. You have to pay for things first and then apply to them to reimburse you. Well, that means the whole dynamic of being sure that you have a pool of liquidity, enough money to even be able to do these things, to even be able to be eligible to apply for reimbursement. And that's kind of the task of the money end of the organization and kind of where I sit with it. We welcome everyone as partners because anybody who lives on this island is part of the history. You're part of the history, and our job is to tell your story.
So last call, what is the actual contact details for the website?
VashonHeritageMuseum.org.
There you go.
That'll take you everywhere.
All right. All of Captain Joe's people, VashonHeritageMuseum.org. And we have all too quickly come to the end of our time. So it remains then for me, as I always do, from the captain's chair, is my wish and my desire and my command that each of you who are responsible for other people take care of those people for whom you are accountable. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly.